Welcome back to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone, where we will not be talking about Richard Sherman in this segment. So
don't you ever, ever talk about me.
Okay.
That's pretty mediocre.
All right. So we're going to get into, in our last segment here, we're going to do contenders versus pretenders as we do a preview for the second half of the NBA season. We're going to pick who we think are going to be after we're going to do our contenders and pretenders, and then we're going to talk about who we think are going to be in the conference finals and as well as the NBA finals. And then, I don't know, I think I might cut out the MVP talk. We'll do that. We'll save that for another day.
We're going to hear about the entire season.
We're going to hear about that for the rest of the season anyways. The Winter Olympics are only going on for another few days, so we'll make sure to squeeze that in. With the NBA second half starting, let's get into it and talk about who we think is a contender. We'll start with the West. Obviously, Oklahoma City Thunder, are we unanimous on contenders there?
They're pretty much the contenders in the West at this point.
All right. After that, let's go with the San Antonio Spurs.
It hurts me. It hurts me deeply to say this, but the Spurs are pretenders at this point. They're hurt. They're old. They're putting up decent numbers, but in a seven-game series, I don't trust them at this point. I feel like the Spurs are primed to lose in the second round of the playoffs this year.
I think they're contenders because everyone says that every single year, and they'll make it to the finals.
But this is the first year it's been true. You've never had literally the entire starting lineup be hurt for a month with the Spurs.
I say that's giving them rest, and they're going to make it again to the finals because they almost won it.
I hope you're right.
I think that they're Spurs go. Yeah, I think that they're going to be able to be contenders because who knows what this Thunder team's going to come out Thursday with Russell Westbrook. Will that hurt Durant? We don't know what this new Russell Westbrook's going to be from this injury. So,
all right, so let's continue to move down the Western Conference standings. The team that went into the All-Star break on a seven-game win streak and now finds himself in the three seed. We just talked about them last Tuesday on the show. The Houston Rockets, contender or pretender?
Pretenders.
They're pretenders for me. Dwight Howard's got to show me something in a seven-game series before I buy that team.
I feel like it's early, that this is a brand-new team, that there's not a whole lot of chemistry there, and you need experience together in the playoffs together.
Well, I mean, they have won seven in a row, so they're starting to develop some
not
chemistry.
This season, but maybe next season when these guys have a whole season and playoff experience together.
I'm saying forget about the whole chemistry thing. They say when you put teams together the first year, they don't win.
Well, look,
what did the Boston Celtics do?
What did the Heat do? Heat lost to Dallas.
But what did the Boston Celtics do?
Okay, they won it.
Exactly.
But they were already friends. Like, this, the Heat team was...
Wade and LeBron James are already friends.
You can't use that argument. Bosh, Wade, and LeBron played together multiple times.
But in the experience
Olympics.
Beat them in that. Experience beat... The
who on the Mavericks had experience that year other than Dirk?
Jason Kidd had been to two finals before. Terry,
who had played in a final before. They
exactly.
Have,
that's I what mean, I mean. That's
they
more
had
of
Sean
experienced
Marion,
team.
They had Sean Marion.
Exactly. Much more experienced team beat the Heat.
Tyson Chandler. They had a lot of veteran
players.
Not necessarily all of them had finals experience.
No, but they've had playoff experience much better than that.
But I'm going to say forget about that. I think Houston is going to contend in the playoffs because you need a post presence to be able to win in the playoffs. And
the Heat won two without a post presence.
Well, they also have the best player in the game, so that kind of negates that. I mean, you look where would Indiana be in the playoffs without Roy Hibbert?
That makes a difference. That's true. And so, Chicago without Noah.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
But you don't need it, I think. Look at the Thunder. Does the Thunder, that we said that was a contender, does the Thunder need a post presence? Because they have Ibaka, who's a great defender, but is Ibaka an elite guy?
I mean, they have some other guys on their team, though, that can rebound and stuff. That's what, you need that defensive interior presence. And you look at where was Kobe Bryant without Shaquille O'Neal, Andrew Bynum, or Pau Gasol?
Not as good as he was, but that was in the past. I think this is a different NBA.
Okay, we'll see where it is. I mean,
we don't even have centers at the All-Star game. We have forwards, so they don't even count centers anymore when it comes to All-Star.
I wasn't talking about centers.
I was just talking about big men
in general.
Look, what would you call Carmelo? Would he be a power forward or small forward?
He's a forward. We're just going to say it that way.
Okay, exactly. So you don't need – so you could have small forwards. So that's what I'm saying.
Carmelo's team isn't sniffing the playoffs. That's like an irrelevant.
I'm saying players can play multiple spots, so I don't think you need a big post presence.
So let's continue to move down here. We got the Los Angeles Clippers at the fourth spot here. We got actually have a three-way tie for three, four, and five seeds right now. Each team is six games behind the first-place Thunder. But – currently in fourth sit the Los Angeles Clippers. Do you like them as a pretender or a contender?
I like them as a contender. I like the experience that that Doc Rivers brings to that team, especially in a playoffs type of setting. I feel like Blake Griffin has expanded his game so much more than just being a dunker or being a high athleticism kind of forward. And I like them. I like them to make a run at it.
Yeah, I would put them as a contender, but I could see them also being blown out. They're an iffy team, I would say, because you really don't know what you're getting from night from night.
Yeah, they do tend to be inconsistent at times. I do like some of the pieces, though, that they added this offseason. I feel like they fit well. J.J. Redick, guys like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that fits the system that Doc Rivers likes to run. And I feel like if this team can continue to buy into the defensive philosophy that Doc Rivers has and the mindset that he has, this team is going to continue to improve. And you look, if his team can get, you know, if they can get a first round, be a top seed in the first round, or even so in the second round, this is a team I feel like they can go all the way to the conference finals because they're so good at home, but they've only been 500 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something that I feel like it's going to be very, very important to them. We'll go ahead and continue down here. The Portland Trailblazers in the fifth seed spot right now, contender or pretender?
I'm going to wait to make a call on Portland just because if they're still in the fifth spot in the Western Conference 3 weeks from now, they're pretenders. If they find a way to fight their way back into the top four of the West, I like them as a contender because I feel like they're a young team and they're a dynamic team. But they had that great start to the season. They've sagged a little bit going into the All-Star break. Are they going to respond, get back up in contention, or are they going to fade away? That's my evaluation.
Let me just say this. When I think of contenders, I'm thinking of teams that I think that are going to make the conference finals.
But that's what I'm saying. Like in the top four, like if they can find a way to, what is it? It's only two games that separate second from fifth, technically.
The three, fourth, and fifth seeds, and the second seed right now. It's two games.
Right. So it's close still. And with a young team like Portland, I think that how you respond after starting out really well tells me a lot about how you're going to respond when your back's up against the wall in a playoff series. So that's why I'm holding judgment on them until I see how they're in a little bit of a dogfight right now. A couple weeks, I think there'll be a little bit more separation as teams come out fresh after the All-Star break. And then I'll make my call on this.
And one of the things about Portland that I've been really impressed with is typically young teams that are building and turning into a playoff caliber team struggle on the road. They're very good at home and struggle on the road. They're 17-11 on the road right now. I mean, six games above 500. That's something that is really impressive to me, especially after watching an Atlanta Hawks team for the better part of a decade. Be young and talented and struggle so much on the road and be really good at home, and that's what really separated them from being able to contend and move on past the second round. So that's something that's very encouraging for me to see from the Trailblazers. What do you think on them, contender or pretender?
It matters if you think Golden State last year was a contender, because I think they're almost the next Golden State or even the next the Pacers, that they have the ability to go all the way to the final conference finals, and they're going to put up huge fights, and I think that'll almost wear them out. But again, I still say wait till next year for them to be a contender. I would put them a pretender, but I could easily see them move up very quickly because they have a high ceiling for this team.
Absolutely. I like some of the I just like the players that they have there with Damian Lillard, and
they have solid pieces,
and
LaMarcus,
I don't know. Aldridge. I mean you look at some of the role players they have there, like Nicholas Batum. I really like him a lot as well. So I think they have a chance. I don't think that this is their year. I think you're right. I think if they can get back up into that top half, that they'll at least go out of the second round. But I don't even like them getting past the first round if they're in the lower half. We'll continue on here and move a little faster.
Are these last three even considered contenders? Because I don't think that they're worth it.
I'd probably go ahead and say they're all pretenders. But Dallas has won a championship in the last 3 years.
This is the end of Dirk's career.
And we have an Arizona break.
I was just saying, Phoenix. You know, they do remind me of last year's Golden State team. They could get hot if they make the playoffs. But they are getting Eric Bledsoe back in a couple weeks, and they can make a run with one of the best backcourts in the league with Dragic and Bledsoe.
Wait, are you saying that he's Seth Curry all of a sudden, that he can pretty much just carry the team?
You mean Stephen Curry?
He has played extremely well this season, and they actually blew out. He matched Steph Curry earlier this year point for point.
I actually don't even think Phoenix is going to make the playoffs.
I agree.
I think they're going to fall out, and I think Memphis has been playing really well heading into the All-Star break, 7-3 in their last 10 games. I think they're going to jump up. I mean, Golden State's got to get it together eventually.
They will. That's the thing is, you know, at some point you don't have a good two-year run like that, and then all of a sudden flat out, as soon as you get Iguodala, like they have so much of a better team than what they're playing. I think they're tired, and this All-Star break, I think, is the best thing for them. They got some energy coming back.
Really quickly, let's get into the Eastern Conference. We know that we like Indiana and Miami as contenders, but here's the thing. In the big scheme of things, everybody else is pretty much pretenders in the Eastern Conference, but you have to pick someone to come out and represent the Eastern Conference in the second round.
If I got to pick one of these teams, okay.
Chicago.
Chicago's about it.
Because they're battle-tested.
Really, really tough team that's going to just hit you in the mouth every second of a game. Tom Thibodeau teaches a really, really tough type of basketball. Really, I enjoy it. I enjoy it when teams sort of grind out wins. It doesn't have to be pretty offensively as long as it's tough and gritty type of basketball. I got to go with the Bulls out of one of these chumps in the Eastern Conference.
I would say Chicago, or I would say Brooklyn, because of the players they have that have been playoff tested.
Pretty much, because that Toronto team, look, if Rudy Gay was still on that team, we wouldn't be talking about them at all. So they made a trade in season, and they just got really hot, and I don't think they're a contender at all. We've talked about Chicago. Atlanta, are even fans going to show up to the if they even make the playoffs?
I don't probably think, not.
Yeah, fans probably won't even go
and
to the
Atlanta's
game.
Atlanta's been so hot and cold since Al Horford went down. They went on a four-game winning streak, then they went on a four-game losing
streak. Plus, the Braves are about to play, so they're not going to be caring about this.
The Braves fans don't even go to their games anymore either.
Washington.
And they went 90 games a season.
Exactly. Yeah. And this Washington team, it's almost surprising because all of a sudden John Wall learns how to shoot, and he's pretty much ran that the All-Star weekend, having the huge dunk contest and just having a great All-Star game. But who knows who else is on this Washington team, that they're just John Wall and then almost everyone else. You don't really hear about many of the other players. And then I'm surprised Charlotte's even there.
I think the standings are going to stay like they are. I don't think Miami's going to, as far as the top two seeds go, I don't think Miami's going to surpass Indiana. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to wind up being Indiana and Chicago in the second round. I think it's going to be Miami and Brooklyn in the second round. And I think, you know, it's kind of like Brooklyn's like the new Boston in the playoffs.
I'll be perfectly happy if that's the way that goes, if we can at least get that, because we've had so many
sad
years.
And honestly, I could see the Nets pushing that series with Miami to at least six games.
I could see that, because the last time they played, last playoffs, they went seven games with Chicago, and they were missing the pieces to score, and now I think they have them, and even without Brook Lopez, they're still at least keeping up. So, looking at it, I think Brooklyn can do that same thing.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see. I think this is a team that's just kind of hanging around and trying to make the playoffs to see what they can do with all those old men they have there. But that's going to be it for today's show. Capstone News Now is coming up next. Be sure to tune in tomorrow from 2 to 3:30 with our Wednesday crew with Andy Bass. You've been listening to the Student Section on 90.7 The Capstone.